Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Amar Aleph, three lines from the top, Amar Vashi. We had learned the machloikis between Rabbi Loz and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the way to redeem Peirush Shvius. According to Rabbi Loz, the only way it was acceptable to redeem Peirush Shvius was through Mekach u'Memkar. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, not only Mekach u'Memkar was acceptable, but Chilul was also acceptable. And the Gemara had quoted brises proving each manda omer shita. One brise indicating that it was only permissible through Mekach, which would corroborate Rabbi Elazar's shita, and one brise saying that even Chilul would work, which would corroborate Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Rav Ashi approaches this machlokes in trying to limit the extent of the machlokes. And as the Kapos Tamarim explains, because throughout Shas we find Amoraim trying to limit the scope of machlokes of Tanoim. Specifically, says the Kapos Tamarim, in our situation, where we have two brises that seemingly contradict each other, the Gemara Rav Ashi is attempting to find a way that the machloikis should not be so extreme. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Ashi, machloikis b'prei rishin. The machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan is only regarding the original Shemitah produce, Ava perisheni, secondary produce, that means money or objects that were received by selling the original produce. Devei Hakol, both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan will agree, Bein Derech Mekach and Bein Derech Chilul, both in a Mekach and Memkar and a Chilul approach will be acceptable. Ask the Gemara, when the Gemara before brought a Braisa to corroborate Rabbi Elazar's Shita, the Braisa was referring to Perisheni. And yet, the Braisa kept on speaking about Lokach. So it seems to be that even by Perisheni, the halacha is that only Mekach u'Memkar is acceptable, not Chilul. Answers the Gemara. For Hadatani Lokach, the reason the Braisa kept on speaking about Lokach, even by Perisheni, is added the Tani Reisha Lokach. Since the Braisa began speaking about Lokach, because there at the beginning of the Braisa was speaking about original Shemitah produce, which certainly requires Mekach or Memkar. That's why Tananami Sefer Lokach, the Braisa continues speaking about Mekach and Memkar, even though by Perisheni, the Braisa, Rabbi Elazar, will agree that Mekach or Memkar is not required, Chilul is satisfactory. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei Ravina L'Rav Ashi, asks Ravina to Rav Ashi, there's another Braisa, which the Braisa says, Mishyesh lo selo shel shviyas, somebody who has a selo, which is a coin, that has on it the Kedusha Shviyas. In other words, it's Peirush Shviyas was sold, and the Kedusha of the Peirush Shviyas was transferred onto this seller. Or Bikesh l'kbay chaluk, and he wants to buy a shirt with this seller. And the halach is that a shirt cannot be bought with money that has on it Kedusha Shviyas, because the Rishonim explain, since the shirt will last past the Zman Biur Shmitar, so therefore it doesn't, you may not buy with it something that has on a Kedusha Shviyas. So what do you do? Kate said, Yasa, what should this person do? Yelech etzel chamvani haragel etzlan. He should go to a storekeeper with whom he has a relationship. Vimele, tenli seller payers. And tell him, give me a seller worth of produce. For nice and light, which the storekeeper gives him. And then he tells the storekeeper, this produce is given to you as a gift. And now the storekeeper tells him, the seller that you paid for these payers, I'm giving now to you as a gift. So now these the seller no longer has on it the Kedusha Shvius, because it was redeemed when it was given to the storekeeper, and now the storekeeper gives it to him. And he could buy with it whatever he wants. Makes Ravina his point. We're dealing here with the seller. Seller is obviously not original Shemitah produce. It's a coin. So by definition, it must be at least Perisheni. And yet, what does the Braisa teach us? The Katani Derek Mekach in Derek Chilaloi. The Braisa specified that it should be done through a back and forth selling Mekach or Memkar with the storekeeper, not by the person being Mechalalit himself. So we see that even by Perisheni, the halacha is that only Mekach or Memkar is acceptable. So Rashi explains, because if Chilul were acceptable, why does this person have to go to a Chenveni? He has Paris at home, and he should have exchanged the Paris he has at home for the seller. The fact that the Braisa required that he go to the Chenveni is a proof that Mekach HaMemkar is required. Tosfos, as the Mashal explains, is not satisfied with Rashi's pshat, because as Tosfos says, who says that this person has Paris at home that he could exchange on? And moreover, if he does have Paris, why does he have to go to a Chenveni? Tosfos says what he should have done is he should have gone to his friend. Why does the Gemara require that he has to go to a Chenveni? He could have just gone to his neighbor who has Paris. Therefore, as a proof that Mekach HaMemkar is required. Elam Rav Ashi, therefore Rav Ashi changes his interpretation of the Machloikus of Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. Machloikus of Perisheni. The Machloikus between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar is by Perisheni, if only Mekach HaMemkar is acceptable, says Rav Elazar, or even Chilul is acceptable, says Rav Yochanan. Avo Perishin, when we're dealing with the original Perishvius, the Rehakol, everybody will agree, Derek Mekach in, only Derek Mekach will be acceptable, Derek Chilaloi. However, asked the Gemara, in the previous Gemara, we brought a Braisa, which we used to corroborate Rabbi Yochanan Shita, that seemed to say that even the original Perishvius, Derech Chilul is acceptable. Ma was saying that Rabbi Ashi is teaching us that everybody agrees that the original Paris, Derech Chilul, is unacceptable. Says the Gemara, V'hadu Tani Echad Shvius V'echad Maisa Sheni. That the Braisa said that both Shvius and Maisa Sheni, Chilul, redemption, is acceptable. My Shvius, what does the Braisa mean when it said the word Shvius? It didn't really mean the original Shemitah produce. It meant the Vei Shvius. It meant the money that was received for such produce. Or as our Gemara has called it, Perusheni. Dilei Temahachi. And the Gemara proves that that's what the Braisa must mean. Because if you're going to say Meiser means Meiser Mamish, that the original Meiser, and we're saying that the original Meiser can be redeemed for Ksiv v'tzarta kesa b'yotcha. The Pasuk says regarding the redemption of Meiser that you have to use money to redeem Meiser. So how can we say that's talking that you're mechalel, that you're redeeming the Meiser on fruit? Ella, what is the Braisa when it refers to Maisa mean? It doesn't mean the original Maisa produce, because the only way to redeem the original Maisa produce is with Sarta Kesev, a Kesev Sheshel of Tzura, money that coinage that has on it an engraving, a coin that's engraved. Ella, when the Braisa does speak about Maisa, it means the May Maisa. Not the original Maisa, just something that was received in exchange for Maisa. The Maisa money. Hachanami, when the Braisa spoke about Shvius, it doesn't mean Shemitah, original Shemitah produce, it means the Vei Shvius, money that was received secondary for Shemitah money, not the original Shemitah money. Says the Ritva, after learning the sugya, all of the shitas change. Because the brisa that were all the brises that were used as proof, everything changes. The brisa that was originally used as a proof to Rebbe Elazar, because the brisa says that you have to do derech mekach, umemkar, could even go according to Rebbe Yochanan. Because the way Rebbe Ashi is now teaching us, even Rebbe Yochanan agrees that original Shemitah produce has to be with mekach umemkar. The brisa that we originally used to corroborate Rebbe Yochanan Shita, the brisa that we just explained, will still be corroborating Rebbe Yochanan Shita. But now we have another brisa that comes into the mix. The brisa that was which Ravina and Rav Ashi, which Ravina quoted to Rav Ashi, regarding somebody who had the Seol Shel Shviyas, that says that we're dealing with the Mei Shviyas, and still the brisa says that the only acceptable method of redemption is Mekach Umemker. That brisa will corroborate Rebbe Elazar Shita that holds that even by the Mei Shviyas, only Mekach Umemker is acceptable, nothing else. Says the Mishnah, B'shayna ha'yelulav nitav b'migdash shiva. Originally, the lulav was taken in the base of Migdash for all 7 days. Medina, outside the base of Migdash, it was taken Yom Echad. It was only taken for 1 day. Now there's a very fundamental machloikis. What is Medina? Rashi says, anywhere outside of Yerushalayim, outside of Beis HaMikdash, according to Rashi, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, is called Medina. According to the Rambam, Medina is anywhere outside of Yerushalayim. But the obligation to take the lulav in Yerushalayim is similar to the Beis HaMikdash, and it applies for all 7 days. So ask the Sfasemis, if there's a chiyuv to take the lulav for all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, so why isn't there an obligation for even people who may be exempt from being oilu regal, from being going up to the Beis HaMikdash, still out for Leo Regal, they should still have to go up for the obligation to take the lulav? Answers the Sfas Emes, since the Pasuk, when it speaks about the lulav, says on one hand, that in the Beis HaMikdash there's an obligation to take the lulav all 7 days. But there's another pasuk that says v'lakachtem lechem b'yom rishon. There's only an obligation for 1 day. What the Torah is telling us, says the Sfas Emes, is that only those that are in the Beis HaMikdash or in Yerushalayim, according to the Rambam, have to take the lulav for all 7 days. Those outside do not have to bring themselves to Yerushalayim to take the lulav for more than 1 day. The stipler, along the same lines, explains that the obligation of taking the lulav to 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash is not a chiv on the individual, it's a chiv on the tzibur. There's a chiv that lulavim, that the dalaminim, should be taken in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. But it's not everyone's specific obligation, and since it's not everyone's specific obligation, the person has a right to not go to Yerushalayim and take the lulav. Now the question that comes up is, according to the Rambam, who says that that the obligation of taking the lulav for all 7 days includes all of Yerushalayim, so even if we'll accept what the Sfas Emes and the stipler just explained to us, that there is no obligation to go to Yerushalayim to specifically take the lulav for all 7 days, even though the Sefer Chassidim does quote Rav Haigoin that would be careful to go to Yerushalayim every year for Sukkos, so he could be mekayim this mitzvah of taking the lulav all 7 days. The question still remains, according to the Rambam, if somebody comes to Yerushalayim on Sukkos during one of the days, should he have to take the lulav even if he took the lulav already, even if he took the dalam minim when he was outside Yerushalayim, because that obligation was only, as we will learn soon, an obligation to Rabbanon, and here he can mekayim a mitzvah daraisa. So there are a number of approaches given by the Mefarshim why he would not necessarily be obligated to do it. Of course, when we speak about Yerushalayim, we only speak about the old city of Yerushalayim, the area, or the area near the Kaisel HaMaravi. However, some Mefarshim explain that this obligation only applies, as the Pasuk says, "V'samachtem lefnei Hashem alekeichem," in a time when we could reach the level of Simcha. Now, unfortunately, we aren't able to have Simcha. We're in the time of Golus, so this obligation no longer exists. Another explanation is that the obligation only exists when the wall around Yerushalayim still stands. Since that wall no longer stands, the obligation that the Rambam equates Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash no longer exists. Another explanation given is that since the Beis HaMikdash itself is no longer standing, so this chiyuv applies only as long as the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Now that the Beis HaMikdash is no longer standing, this obligation no longer exists. However, another explanation given by some of the Poskim is that although the chiyuv to take the lulav outside of Yerushalayim is only a chiyuv d'rabbanon, once the person was mekayim the mitzvah d'rabbanon, there is no longer an application of a mitzvah d'oraisa, and therefore he doesn't have to take the lulav again once he comes to Yerushalayim. And therefore, given all these reasons, there is, even according to Rambam, probably no specific obligation to go to Yerushalayim for Sukkos, nor even if someone has taken the Dalamina outside of Yerushalayim or outside the old city of Yerushalayim, there's no obligation to specifically go to the old city of Yerushalayim if he's in Eretz Yisrael to shake the lulav. And even if he went, let's say he went to the Kaisel, he should not make a bracha when he takes the Dalaminim, if he already was mekayim the mitzvah that day with a bracha. But probably the proper thing to do is to shake the lulav again when he comes near the Kaisel, to mekayim shitas Rambam, that according to the Rambam, there's a chiv every one of the 7 days everywhere in Yerushalayim. Continues the Mishnah. Mishchar Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, she lulav nitl v'medina shiva, that the lulav should be taken anywhere outside of Yerushalayim, according to the Rambam, outside the Beis HaMikdash, according to Rashi, shiva for all 7 days, zeichel HaMikdash, zeichet for the Beis HaMikdash. And like Daruch Lener explains, since the Mishnah teaches us v'medina yom echad, asked Aruch Lener, why does the Mishnah have to speak about that outside Yerushalayim there was an obligation, outside of Beis HaMikdash according to Rashi, there was an obligation to take it 1 day? That isn't the subject under the discussion, says Aruch Lener. That's exactly what the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, is teaching us. Originally, there was a chiv in Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, for 7 days. There was a chiv everywhere else for 1 day. So since there was a chiv of the Raisa for 1 day, even outside of the Mikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai zeichel HaMikdash, and he expanded the chiv for all 7 days. And another din he told us was Shehayim Yoim Hanaf, the day of waving. That's the 16th day of Nisan, the day when they brought the carbon ha'omer, the carbon from the new barley. The entire day should be usher to eat from the new grain. And we'll explain the reason for this in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Menolan Davdina Zeich LeMikdash, from where do we know that we make a Zeich LeMikdash? Ask the Sfas Emes, what kind of question is this? Menolan Davdina Zeich LeMikdash. Don't we do so many things Zeich LeMikdash that now the Gemara is asking us what's the reason that we make a Zeich LeMikdash? So explain the Sfas Emes. The Gemara's question is, we understand that Rabbi Yochanan taught us that we should make 7 days, we should take the lulav, the dal minim, 7 days, no matter where we are. However, asks the Gemara, why is there no problem about Tosif? For that, the Gemara answers, there is no problem about Tosif, because since there's a pasuk that we have to do things, zeich l'megdash, as the Gemara will explain the pasuk in a moment, therefore, that supersedes the concern of zeich l'megdash. However, the Brisker Rav explains that there is no concern of Baal Tosif, because Baal Tosif is one takes the din of the Torah and expands it past what the Torah told us to do. However, explains the Brisker Rav, the chiyuv of taking the lulav for the 6 days past the first day, the Medina, is not an expansion of the din Torah. It's a new din that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted. And since it's a new din, it's not an expansion, it will not fall under the category of Baal Tosif. So how do we know we make a Zeich LeMikdash? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dama Kroa Ke'ela Aruchaloch, I will make a cure for you, U'makoyseich Arpeich, and from your wounds I will heal you, Nuhum Hashem, so says Hashem. Kenitchu Karaloch, the nations of the world called you a discarded one. Tzion hi, they say about us, with Tzion, Dairish ain lo. There's no one who seeks her. Dairish ain lo, says the Gemara Beit Pasuk, saying there's no one who seeks her. Mechla, and that's a taina, that's something that's unacceptable. Mechla the Bayit Risha, it requires that what do you call it, that Yerushalayim should be seeked out and be constantly remembered, and that's why we make a Zeich LeMikdash. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, as we're going to learn in a moment, Shehei HaYom HaNaif, that the 16th of Nisan is Osir in the new Omer, is also Zeich LeMikdash. But when we look in the Mishnah, we'll find a very interesting phenomenon. When the Mishnah speaks about the gzeira of taking the lulav all 7 days, the Mishnah specifies Zeich LeMikdash. When the Mishnah speaks about Shehei Ayoy Manaf Kulay Osir, the Mishnah doesn't use the word Zeich LeMikdash. Why? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman LaHalacha, that when one takes the lulav for all days, all 7 days, for the 6 days past the first days, the Medina, he has to know that he's doing it Zeich LeMikdash. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that a person should tell his family that he's doing this Zeich LeMikdash, that we're not just doing it because there's a chiyuv midaraisa or midrabbanan to take the lulav for all 7 days of Sukkot. There's a chiyuv Zeich LeMikdash. And now, according to that, we could understand a very beautiful answer to the Sfas Emes' question. The Sfas Emes asked, Minolan davdinan Zeich LeMikdash, what's the Gemara's question? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, what the Gemara is teaching us is, Menolon, that when one takes the lulav for all 7 days, Zeich LeMikdash, he should remember and say specifically, you know why we're taking the lulav all 7 days, even though we're Chutz LeMikdash, we're the Medina? Because we have an obligation, Zeich LeMikdash, to do things, Zeich LeMikdash. The Mefarshim explained that the pasuk that we just quoted, teaching us that we should make a Zeich LeMikdash, says the words Ke'ela Aruchaloch. So they say Ela is Rosh Hatevis Esrig Aravois Lulav Hadassim. Ke'ela, we take the Dalaminim Aruchaloch, all of that is Zeich LeMikdash. So the Mishnah taught us Sheyehei Yom Anaf Kula Asim. So just in the way of introduction, the halacha is that all new crops, all new grain, may not be used until the second day of Pesach, 16 days in Nisan, when they brought the carbon ha'omer. When the Torah discusses this carbon, the Torah says, "V'lechem v'kali v'kamel lo'soichu ad etzem ha'yomaseh." You're not allowed to eat any of the new grain until this day. Ad aviyachem es carbon alkechem, until you bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's carbon ha'omer. So the pasuk seems to be teaching us two different times. On one hand, the pasuk is telling us that the chiyuv is until this day. And on the other hand, the pasuk is saying, until you bring the carbon. So the way to explain it is when the Beis HaMikdash was standing and we brought the carbon, we're not allowed to eat the new Omer until the carbon is brought. When the Beis HaMikdash is no longer standing, then as soon as the day begins, Heir HaMizrach, as soon as the day begins, that's when you're allowed to eat the new crap. Came Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and said that the entire 16th day of Nisan, one may not eat from the new crap. My Tama, says the Gemara Meher, you bought a Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvah Hashem, we hope that the Beis HaMikdash will be built very shortly. Last year, when the Beis HaMikdash wasn't standing, we ate immediately in the morning. Hashta this year, also Nami Nechel, we should eat right away in the morning. Vinu lo yadi, but the people will not realize, the shtakid that I have a Beis HaMikdash. Last year when we unfortunately did not have a Beis HaMikdash, Heir HaMizrachitim. As soon as the day began, that's when you're allowed to eat from new crap. Hashta, the Beis HaMikdash. Now when we Baruch Hashem already have a Beis HaMikdash, Omer matter. It's when the carbon is brought, and they will eat it too soon. Ask the Gemara. Divni Amos. Exactly what is the scenario? When was the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt? That the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt on the 16th day Nisan. That means this day began without the Beis HaMikdash. And during the course of the day, the Beis HaMikdash will be built. Ask the Gemara, Arei hit the Erev Mizrach. As soon as the day began, even though in the course of the day, the Beis HaMikdash will be built, once the day began, and there is no Beis HaMikdash, it's mutter to eat from the new crap. For as the Mefarshim explained, even if there will be a Beis HaMikdash built in the course of this day, some Mefarshim say, since the day began without a Beis HaMikdash, there will not be a chiv to bring a carbon oimer that year. However, most Mefarshim disagree. They say there will certainly be a chiv to bring the carbon oimer that year, but there won't be a chiv to bring it. That won't change the fact that the day began without a Beis HaMikdash, and if the day begins without a Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to start eating the new crap. Ella, divna b'chameisa. It must be that the Beis HaMikdash was built on the 15th day of Nisan. Ask the Gemara, Mechatzos Hayoyim L'Halon Tishtri. So after Chatzos, the people should be allowed to eat from the new crap. Dotnan, because we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Menachos, Haruchaykim, people who are not near the Beis HaMikdash, when could they start eating the new crap? The loch is Mechatzos Hayoyim L'Halon. From Chatzos, they're allowed to eat from the new crap. We could be certain that by Chatzos they already brought the carbon oimer. So ask the Gemara, even if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has room for his gzeira, why is he saying that we should wait till the end of the day? We should wait till Chatzos because b'mamshach, if there is no Beis HaMikdash, so as soon as the day begins, it's mutter to eat the new crap. If there is Baruch Hashem, a Beis HaMikdash, as soon as Chatzos comes, we should be allowed to eat from the new crap, because by then, certainly the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. And in fact, the Michas Chinuch makes an interesting observation. He says, it depends on Chatzos in the Beis HaMikdash. So somebody would be in America, where we're 6 hours behind Eretz Yisrael, we would already be allowed to eat from 6 a.m. because once Chatzos came, we could be certain the Beis HaMikdash, the Omer was brought. Answers the Gemara, Le'tzricha Divni Belayla, we're dealing with a situation where the Beis HaMikdash was built on the night of the 16th, Inami Samach L'Shkiyas Achama, right before sundown on the 15th, and there wasn't enough time to prepare all of the requirements for bringing the carbon oimer. So that year, the Beis HaMikdash is standing. It was standing before day broke on the 16th of Nisan, but the carbon cannot be brought in its normal fashion by Chatzos because they didn't have enough time to prepare. Therefore, they have to be concerned that the carbon is brought later. So said Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, wait till the end of the day. Asks Rashi and Tosfos that we know that the Beis HaMikdash is not built by night. or the Beis Hamikdash is not built on Yontif. So how could the Gemara give us an answer that the Beis Hamikdash was built at night, or was built on the 15th, right before sundown? The 15th is Yontif, and afterward is night. Says Rashi that we're dealing here with the third Beis Hamikdash, and the third Beis Hamikdash will come down from Shemayim completely built, and therefore it doesn't require any building on our part. Asked Aruch Lener, that we know that the Beis Hamikdash has to be built by people, and moreover, if the Gemara is saying like Rashi is teaching us that the Beis Hamikdash will come down completely built, so then it should have said the Igli Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Hamikdash will be revealed. So there's a number of answers given. One answer, which Rabbi Yoshev quotes from the Meril Diskin, is that although the Beis Hamikdash will come down completely built, says Rabbi Shulei Diskin, the wall, the Sha'arim, the gates of the Beis Hamikdash, we will have to build. But the building of the gates will not require, that will not hold up the ability to bring the Korban Ayumah. And he explains that's what we say in the davening on the Musaf of the Shalosh Regolim. We say, V'hareinu b'binyonoi, v'samcheinu b'tikunoi. Explains Rabbi Yoshev. Hareinu b'binyonoi. We will just have to see the Beis Hamikdash, because the Beis Hamikdash, as Rashi and Tosfos tell us, will come down completely built from Shemayim. V'samcheinu, we will have the simcha b'tikunoi. We'll just make the last minute fixing, the last minute tikkun by building the gates. Aruch Lener has a different approach. Aruch Lener says that even though we will have to build the Beis Hamikdash, the Mizbeach could come down from Shemayim completely built. Rev Wolfson from Tarvadas explains Rabbi Yosher's question, explains the question from Aruch Lener and Rashi, that Rashi is saying that the Beis Hamikdash will come down completely built. How don't we have an obligation to build the Beis Hamikdash? Says Rav Olson, we are building the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash that's going to come down from Shemayim will not just be made miraculously by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It will depend on our actions in this world. So we are building even the third Beis Hamikdash. The Mefarshim point out, and Tosfos asks Akasha. Tosfos asks, why are these two specific takanas? Takana Shiyaya Yoim Enaf Kulay Osir and the Gzeira of Lulav all 7 days brought together. They're seemingly two separate subjects. And like Tosfos points out, either the Gemara should have mentioned all of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takanas, or none of his takana, just the takana that's relevant to Hilchas Sukkah. Why does the Mishnah bring down these two takanas? So, the Imri Emes, the Ger Rebbe, had a brother, Rav Moshe Betzalel, who was once met the Brisker Rav. And he met the Brisker Rav, and the Brisker Rav asked him, do you have an answer to Tosfos' question? So Rav Moshe Betzalel told him, I don't have an answer. My brother, the Imri Emes, has a beautiful answer. He says, the reason these two takanas were mentioned together is beautiful. When Klal Yisrael heard of the takana that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made, that we should take the lulav for all 7 days outside the Mikdash, they fell into despair. What they were being told was that the Beis Hamikdash will not be rebuilt so quickly, and we have to do things zeichel l'mikdash. Because they fell into such despair, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, but there's another takana. There's a takana of Yeh Yoim Hanaf Kula Osir. Why is Yoim Hanaf Kula Osir? Because Mehera Yibana Beis Hamikdash. Don't fall into despair. Don't think I don't believe that the Beis Hamikdash will be immediately rebuilt. That's why these two takanas that are seemingly not related are mentioned in the Mishnah together. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak Amar, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai b'shitas Rav Yehuda Amar. Rav Nachman ben Zakkai, his sheet regarding when the Omer, the new Chodesh may be eaten is going according to his Rabbi Yehuda. Dama Minatayru also, who says it's also to eat the Omer on the 16th day, Midarais. Tiksev Ad Etzim Hayoim Hazeh, we quoted the person before, Ad Etzum Shoyoim, until the day passes, because Ad Ad Bechlal, you have to wait for the entire day to pass. And as the Pnei Yeshua explains, the reason the Gemara is saying this is because Chodosh outside of Eretz Yisrael is only the Rabbana. So it's difficult, says the Pnei Yeshua, to understand why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would make a gzeir for something which is only a Rabbana. But now that it's a deraisa, we can understand it's a mid deraisa, you can't eat till the day is over. Says the Gemara, does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai hold like Rabbi Yehuda from Miflik Poligale? He disagrees with him. The Tanya Mishachar based on Migdash from the Besamidish was destroyed. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Sheyoyim Anaf Kosar. The entire 16th day of Nisan, you can't eat the new Omer. Amle Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda said it's not a Drabonon, it's a Daraisa. So we see that there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. It's not Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is basing his gzeira on Rabbi Yehuda. It says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda hodukatoi. Rabbi Yehuda made a mistake. Who suffered the Rabbanan Kamar? He thought that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was basing his gzeira strictly on the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was saying the Midaraisa you're not allowed to eat from the new Omer, from the new grain until the 16th of Nisan has passed. Ask the Gemara of a Hiskin Kamar. It seems that he was only saying a Drabonin, because the language of a Hiskin means that he was instituting something. My Hiskin, what does Hiskin mean? Darsh for Hiskin, he dashed in the Pasuk. Just to follow up on what we said before, that Rashi and Taisa say that the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi will come down completely built, the Divrei Shol, Rabbi Yosef Shol Natanzon, the Lember Gerov, says that's what we say by the Seder. We say, Adir Hu, Yivne Beis HaBikarov, says the Divrei Shol. Adir Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so powerful, and the next Beis HaMikdash will come down completely built by him, Min HaShemayim, Yivne Beis HaBikarov, we could see immediately the new Beis HaMikdash, we won't have to wait till it gets built. Says the Mishnah, Yontav Rishon Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. If the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, this Mishnah refers to before there was a Gzeirah, which we will discuss, that we don't take the Lulav on Shabbos. Yontav Rishon Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. Kol Ha'om Melichen Es Melulvein L'Beis HaKnesses. Everybody takes the Lulav to Shul from before Shabbos. Elamachrus Meshkim and Boim. Everybody comes to shul the next morning. Kol Echad VeEchad Makir Shaloi. Everybody recognizes his own lulav, VeNoitloi, and he uses it. Neshamr Chacham, because Chazal taught us, Ein Adam Yotzi Dechavosoi Beyond of Harishin, BeLulav Shel Chaveri. A person cannot be mekayim the mitzvah on the first day with somebody else's dalaminim. He has to be shalachem. In fact, the Paiskim say that a person should be careful to pay for the dalaminim he's using before Yontif. He should not buy it on credit. It should be completely sholachem. V'shayimos achag, on the other days of Yontif, Adam Yotzi Dechvosoi, a person can be mekayim the mitzvah, belulav shel chaveroi, with somebody else's lulav, there is no obligation of lechem. Rabbi Yosi teaches us, Yontav Arishin Shechag Shechalis B'Shabbos, if the first day of Yontav came out in Shabbos, V'shochech V'hoitzias Lulav L'Shus Rabbim. So even though we're saying that you're allowed to take the Lulav, the Halacha, however, is that it should be taken, you're not allowed to carry it, it should be prepared beforehand, and somebody forgot and he took his Lulav to L'Shus Rabbim, Potter, he's not Chayiv Karban Chatos for carrying, he took it out in the to do a mitzvah, and since he was preoccupied in doing a mitzvah, the halacha is that he doesn't have to bring a carbon. But the Mefarshim point out, and we'll discuss some more in the Gemara, it's only when he was preoccupied in doing a mitzvah. If the person is not preoccupied in doing a mitzvah, he doesn't have this hetter. Says the Gemara, not immediately. From where do we know these halachas? The Tanur Rabbanan, the lekachtem, shtei lekicha biyad kol echad ve'echad. That everybody has to take their own dalaminim. Ask the Mefarshim, The Meiri already asked this question. How would we have a Havamina that everybody doesn't have their own obligation to take the Dalam Minim? Every mitzvah, like tefillin, tzitzis, everybody has to take, wear their own tefillin, wear their own tzitzis. You can't be mekayim the mitzvah with somebody else's tefillin, with somebody else's tzitzis. So why do I need a pasuk to teach me that everybody has to take their own Dalam Minim? So Mefarshim explained that since the purpose of the Dalam Minim is either l'ratzis salamayim, to bring panosa for Klal Yisrael, or to show that we came out of Yom Kippur natzchin, winning, that we came out of the Tzeres Shimei Tshuva in an excellent position, so perhaps it would be adequate for Bezdin to take the Luluf, and that would be the simen for all of Klal Yisrael. That's why the pasuk says, no, v'lekachtem, sh'telekich b'yad kolech v'echad, everybody has their own obligation. Lechem, mishalechem. It has to be yours. Lahoitzi es ashol v'sagozol. Borrowed or stolen is unacceptable. Mikan, amr chachomim, ein adam yotzi dei chavotsoi beyond the rishon shel chag, belovah shel chaveroi. You can't use somebody else's lulav, elm kein nosim lavim atana, unless you received it as a gift, which we'll discuss in a moment. And the Farshim explain how can we learn both the halacha of shol, borrowed, and gozel, stolen, from lochem. The Farshim say, really, each one of these things have an advantage and a disadvantage, a plus and a minus. Shol, borrowed, is something that I received beheter. I received 100% fine. However, on the other hand, it's not mine. Gozel, I got through a geneva, but on the other hand, as we learned earlier in the parak, sometimes the gazlin obtains ownership of what he stole. So both of these things have a plus and a minus, and that's why they both can be learned equally from the same pasuk. Says the Gemara, Meisberg, Maliyah, Rabbi Shuvah, Rabbi Lozben, Azari, Rabbi Kiva. Shebaim b'sfina, they were traveling on a trip on the first day of Sukkos. V'lohayu lulav el Rabbi Gamliel b'van, only Rabbi Gamliel had a lulav. Shalach be'elav zuz, that he paid 1,000 zuz for it. Not on Rabbi Gamliel v'yotz, but Rabbi Gamliel took the lulav and he was mekayim the mitzvah. V'nos on Rabbi Shuvah matani, gave it to Rabbi Shuvah as a gift. Not on Rabbi Shuvah v'yotz, but then Rabbi Shuvah took it and he was mekayim the mitzvah. V'nos on Rabbi Lozben Azayv matana. Not on Rabbi Lozben Azayv v'yotz, but v'nos on matana Rabbi Kiva. He gave it to Rekiva, not to Rekiva, Yotzabav, Exil, Rekmalil, and he gave it back to Rekmalil. Ask the Gemara, Lomali, Lameim, and Chesirot, why do we have to teach us that he gave it back? Teaches us the Gemara, Milsa, Agav, Urcha, Kamashmon. He's teaching us the Matana, Mas, Lahatzer, that even though this was a gift that was given on the condition that it should be returned to the original owner, Shma, Matana, it's considered a gift, and therefore the person can be Mekayim, the Mitzvah. Kihada, Amar, Rava, as Rava said, Holoch, Esruch, here you have this esrig, amnasha taksriuli, that you will return to me, not lava yotzavai, and so the person who receives it takes it as mekayim the mitzvah. Hechzira yotza, if he returns it, he has been mekayim the mitzvah of taking the dalam minim. Loyachzir, but if he doesn't return it, say he didn't fulfill the stipulation, and therefore the matana was not a matana, and la yotza is not mekayim the mitzvah. And therefore, Tosfos points out, in those times, people were careful, could not afford to buy dalminim for themselves, so the kehillah, the shul, would buy dalminim that everybody would use. Taisha says it's important that everybody be makna the dalminim one to the other, otherwise there will be a problem in lochem. And Taisha goes on to explain that when there are in Shas many times specific dinim regarding tanoim, that when somebody makes a condition, it has to be tonight kalim lamaisa. He has to first say the condition and then what it will affect. He has to double the tanai, he has to be a dai kafel. Taisha says that is the halacha here too. Just the Gemara is not teaching us hilchos tanoim. Most Rishonim disagree. Most Rishonim hold that we don't have to go through all the hilchos tanoim. It's understood that when it's given b'matana manas lahachzir, it's given with all of the proper halachic stipulations. There's another question that the Rishonim debate, and that is when Rav Gamliel first gave it, the Gemara says, to Rav Yeshua. And then Rav Yeshua gave it to Rav Lozben Azariah, and then he gave it to Rav Kiva. Was it that Rabbi Gamliel had instructed them to do that? Or is the halacha that if I receive an esrig with a matana manas lahachsir, as long as it ultimately gets back to the original owner, I could give it to other people, I could have it passed around to other people, as long as the original owner will ultimately receive it back? The Sharetzion discusses that the Gemara says that it has to go back to the original owner, otherwise the stipulation has not been met and it has not been mekayim the mitzvah. Says the Sharetzion that it has to go back to the original owner before Hallel, because the original owner wants to have the lulav for Hallel, that he can mekayim mitzvahs nanuim during Hallel. The Rosh quotes a Bala Itur that says that we could assume that when somebody has a dalam minim on the table, he would certainly be comfortable in letting somebody else take it as a matana manas lahachsir, and even if the person isn't here to be asked, of course if he's here we should ask him, we could take the dalam minim to mekayim the mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, lama lish lemei mishloch belevzos, why does it have to be told to us that he spent 1,000 zuz on it? L'diyacha kama mitzvahs chavivus leim, to show us how much Rabbi Gamliel loved mitzvahs, that he was able, that he spent so much money on the mitzvah. As mefarshim, shouldn't this been mentioned immediately as the story was mentioned? Why did he spend so much money? Why does it wait till now? So the Kabbalist Tamar Mein says that since we're going to learn now other concepts about the chavivus, how much they loved the mitzvah dal minim, so that's why the Gemara brings it together here too. I saw another very nice answer. Originally, when we saw that Rabbi Gamliel spent so much money on the dal minim, we might have thought that he spent the money, but it really wasn't that much money because he brought it together in partnership with other people. Only after we learned the Gemara that Gamliel did not buy it in partnership because he wanted him mekayim lochem, so we see that he spent so much money all on his own, as the Gemara proves the Gemara that he loved the mitzvah. And the Aruch Haner points out, why does the Gemara say la'idia kama mitzvah chavivus aleihem? It should have said kama mitzvah chavivus alav, how much he loved the mitzvah. Says the Aruch Haner, what probably happened here was there was one set of dalam minim which was very beautiful, and these tanoim that I mentioned, Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, Ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, all were bidding for these dalam minim. So it was aleihem. They all loved the dalam minim, but Gamliel was the one that spent the most money. He was the one that ultimately got it. Amalei Mar Bar Meimel Ravashi, Abet Slui Kamatzlebe. My father loved the dalam minim so much that when he would hold them when he was davening. May say, ask the Gemara, a person is not supposed to hold his tefillin in his hand, or the sefer Torah b'cheiko, you hold the sefer Torah v'yispal when he's davening. He's not allowed to urinate. He's not allowed to take even a nap or a permanent sleep. V'mishmul sakin, holding a knife or ka'ara, a plate of food, kikar, a loaf of bread or mas or money, also should not be held when davening. And like Tosfos points out, what's Shmuel teaching us? That I would think perhaps only by tefillin sefer Torah, if they fall, there's a bazillion, that should not be held, but anything else may be held. So Shmuel says even these things should not be held. Answers the Gemara, so how could a Maimer hold these things when he was davening? Answers the Gemara, Hosam lav mitzvah ninu. There's no mitzvah to hold those items. V'tarbuhu, and he's preoccupied with them. Hocha mitzvah nanu, the dalaminim are out of a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to hold the dalaminim. V'loy tarbuhu, and therefore he will not be preoccupied with them because of his love for the mitzvah. The Ritva says he doesn't agree with Rashi. He says that just because they're dvar mitzvah doesn't mean that he won't be distracted. But he says, what he explains the Gemara means to say is that if when somebody is holding something, he's mekayim a mitzvah, that type of distraction is not prohibited. That's why Ritva says one may hold a siddur or a machzor when he's davening, even though it's a distraction, but since it's for the purpose of davening, he may hold it during davening. Tanya Belezbert Sadak Oimer, Kachoyim Minhogeshan Shushlaim, this was the custom of the people in Shushlaim, Adam Yotzim Beisav Lulav Beyodai, he leaves his house, he's carrying his Lulav. Hoyachle Beis Knesses Lulav Beyodai. Kair Krishma, when he said Krishma, Mespal, when he davened, Lulav Beyodai, he's always holding his Lulav. Kair Betaira, however, if he gets an Aliyah, or noise is kapov, if he's a coin and he has to go duchen, menichai gabakak, he puts it on the ground, hoyach levake choylem, if he goes to levake choylem, ulanachem alveilem, or to menachem alveilem, lulova beyodoi. Nechnas leveis medrish, he comes to beis medrish, meshagi lulova beyad benoi, beyad avdoi, beyad shulchai, he sends his lulu with his son, his servant, or his messenger, so he should be able to concentrate on the learning, not hold the lulav. My Kamashmalan, why are we learning here? With the Yachakama is reason of mitzvahs, how much they loved mitzvahs that they held the lulav all of the time. The Mefarshim ask, how could be Lenachem Avelim? We take the lulav on Sukkos. On Sukkos, people don't sit Shiva. So, the or Sameach, and he explains the Rambam this way, says that Lenachem Avelim here doesn't mean Nichem Avelim. It means somebody who lost a relative, even though he's not sitting Shiva. There is a mitzvah to go speak to the family and comfort them, not in the regular shiva fashion. And in fact, he says that's pshat of the Rambam, because the Rambam says the Or Sameach, that normally the halacha of nichum aveilim precedes the halacha of bikachoylim. But here we're saying that bikachoylim comes before nichum aveilim. Explains the Nichum Or Sameach, that's only on the full-fledged mitzvah of Nichum Aveilim. That's where the Rambam holds Nichum Aveilim comes before Bikachoylim. Here we're speaking about Nichum Aveilim, just a social visit. Certainly Bikachoylim precedes that. And the Mefarshim point out from here also that when one receives an Aliyah, he has to hold on to the Sefer Torah. That's why the Gemara is saying that when he received the Aliyah, he puts the Dalaminim down, so he could hold the Sefer Torah. And this is the basis for the Minig, particularly in the Sephardic community, that after one receives an Aliyah, the people tell him, Chazak Vametz. Where does that come from? Because the Pasuk says in Yeshua, Lo Yomush Sefer Torah Hazeh Mipicha, Chazak Vametz. So, shots like this, Lo Yomush Sefer Torah, because you didn't let go of the Sefer Torah, because Chazak, because you held on to the Sefer Torah, Vamatz, we give you a bracha that you should be strong, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yeshua that bracha.